This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Government shutdown. Could this be solved before the weekend is out? There is a great chance of that. Rand Paul said, no, it's not happening. So one senator stood in the way of a possible budget deal. That's where we start. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Senator Rand Paul said no conservative could go for this with this massive deficit. The bipartisan budget deal, if it had been passed, would lift strict budget caps and pave the way for lawmakers to spend an extra $300 billion over the next 2 years on defense and domestic programs. It looked like it was going to easily go through. There was Democratic support, bipartisan support, Republican support. It was all there. And Rand Paul objected, said he would only allow the budget bill to advance if the Republican leaders gave him a vote on an amendment to restore the budget caps that were set in 2011 to rein in deficit spending. If he got an amendment, then every senator would want one, is what some of them were saying. And if it had passed, it would blow up the budget agreement, if any amendment passed. So it didn't happen, and that's why we find ourselves in the situation that we're in right now. And I think there was a big surprise among a lot of people who were in the chambers thinking this is a done deal. It's not. They could solve this perhaps by the time it's light again, but the government is shut down as of right now, which is early in the wee hours on Friday. If you're listening to this over the weekend, keep that in mind. And then there's a Senate budget vote that's expected to come down the pike here pretty quickly. But the government shut down for 1 hour plus at this point, as of you hearing my voice right now. You know, it's interesting. Some say, well, this is kind of, you know, this budget deal that Congress is voting on has certainly a lot of people attacking it, but it would do one thing. It would avert a debt ceiling crisis for the next year. Well, this is the whole argument about that. The debt limit is right now set at $20.456 trillion. So rather than raise the limit by a dollar amount, which would acknowledge what we have hovering over us, it would suspend the limit through March 1st, 2019. A suspension lets the U.S. Treasury borrow like it wants to come up with the country's legal obligations in full and on time, and they include everything from veteran benefits and military paychecks to contractor fees and bills, all the stuff that the federal programs, you know, all that stuff that the federal programs incur. Once the suspension ends, the amount borrowed during the suspended period would be added to the legal debt limit. So, politically speaking, it's more palatable and we don't notice it. In other words, you and I, anyone listening to this program, oh, so that's what happened. But then you think about it, the new debt limit could be reset as high as $22 trillion or $1.5 trillion higher than it is today, which is insane if you think about it. In 2013, Congress passed 5 debt limit suspensions. Because it kept running into the crisis, kept running into it. It's kind of like, well, if I just bury my head in the sand, it'll go away for temporary, right? Yep. Bury my head in the sand again, it's going to go away. Bury my head in the sand again, it's going to go away. And then it's still right there because nothing's been done to solve it, right? So that's one way to raise the debt ceiling, and that's part of what the story is about here. And this is why, you know, we look at it, we look at the deficit, and it is shocking, you know, when you think about it. But what do you do when there's no there? There's no there. What do? It's because we print money, you know, like it's like just as though it's just air. And I guess that's it. You know, you go to here's a great exercise for all of you. I mean, just for fun. It's kind of cool to go anyway. I would put it on a list of something that is interesting to see. If you've never been to a mint, go to a mint and watch the paper flow. What we call money, our currency. It's crazy. It's just paper, right? It's just paper. And so, to me, that's the philosophy, I think, behind who cares? Let's just raise it. It's paper. We'll figure it out. It's just paper. But that paper adds up when you owe it to other people, when they buy up your debt, like the Chinese. And to me, ultimately, that is kind of scary when you think about it, because we seem to have no limitation on that. So there is part of the trickery and the problem. And that's the deal. I mean, how much is too much? Paul said he wasn't pushing for a government shutdown, Rand Paul, but he said he was interested in keeping the government open, wasn't interested in keeping the government open for a reckless spending deal that busts the budget caps. And he said nobody wants to have it pointed out that what an eyesore of a deal this is and how obnoxious it is to conservatives. So, for now, it's a sticking point. By the time you're hearing this, as many listen to playback versions with the different schedules we all have in this world, it could be a different story. Could be a different story. Speaking of stories, the story coming out of the Olympics is North Korea and South Korea marching side by side, of course, together in the opening game. So here we sit for the next Olympics and all that that entails, the medal count, the sagas to get there, the stories that you hear about the athletes, and whatever is presented of South Korea and what we see of the Olympic Village and whatnot. But I know it's going to be interesting pageantry, let's put it that way, as we watch for the opening games and then look for those individual stories. And there are some good ones, to be sure, Olympic-wise, for some of the U.S. Olympians who have great chances to medal. One thing that will be fun to watch is going to be to see what happens with Lindsey Vonn, because she is one of our all-time decorated skiers. And she's at that point where, you know, this is a big hurrah for Lindsey, where she's got a shot at some meddling and can find herself as this American iconic kind of skier. She is iconic. Alpine ski racer, you know. She's won 4 World Cup overall championships, and she's just incredibly talented. And she's excited to be there again at the Olympics, of course, and she's got a great chance to win an Olympic medal for us. She won the gold medal in downhill at the 2010 Winter Olympics, the first ever in the event for an American woman. So think 2010, and now we're in 2018. And she's really crushed it in the World Cup events, and this can be another really big, big moment for the skier who started skiing when she was just a young child. At the age of 2, she was on skis. Age of 2. Think about that. We're taking you to the movies next here on America Tonight.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy.
We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside of our borders. At Miles Frank Limited, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Frank Limited is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box system in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals, or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid foundational storage partnered with the most respected name in security. That's Miles Frank Unlimited. Celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Frank Unlimited. A name you can trust.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. When the big black car said, look this way, he said, hey, that day, will you marry me? But I said, no.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Each and every week, we take you to the movies. Thanks to my pal, Mackenzie Sutton. Does such a great job for us here on America Tonight. The on-the-fly man. Because that's how we roll here on America Tonight. So it's interesting. Speaking of rolling through, imagine you find yourself in this great city. You're outside of Paris. You're rolling into Paris, and you're excited. You're on one of those sleek trains. You're just relaxing, and then all chaos breaks out. Well, Clint Eastwood decided he was going to recognize the unofficial heroes of the headlines. He's so good at doing that. And clearly, I think he may have done it again from everything I've heard from those who have already seen it. The thing that's interesting is how he weaves the story and in investigating what happens and what the people are who are those heroes and how they deal with the aftermath of what happens to them. So Clint Eastwood is the director of this action drama. The movie is called The 1517 to Paris, and here's a snippet.
Snacks coming at 12 o'clock.
Gentlemen.
Thank you.
Look at the baby soda sponsor.
Alex, shut the heck up.
over your life. But you can only do that through the struggle of life. And most people avoid the struggle. Most people go through life avoiding pain. When you're working on a dream, at some point in time, a transition takes place. You learn how to leap higher. You start challenging yourself to dig deeper. Something in you that you never activated lying dormant in there. Don't try taking the shortcuts. Do what you know is right. We've been chosen for this great work.
I don't know, man. You ever just feel like life is just pushing us towards something? Like some greater purpose?
Wow, so this is a movie that some liked and some clearly didn't like because they don't like some of the dialogue. There's actors that you don't know. I love the idea of telling the story, though. And on August 21st, 2015, it's been that long, three Americans, Spencer Stone, Alec Starkalotos, I think I'm saying that right, and Anthony Sadler were the three that stopped a terrorist attack on a Paris train. And they're brave, they're capable, and obviously selfless to do that. And I like the idea of telling that story, but oftentimes it's hard to take a real story, whip it around, and make it giant on the big screen. For sure, I'll be watching this, if not at a movie theater. I'll watch it when it comes out and it streams, because I love the story. I love what those Americans did. I say bravo again and again and again for that. It's rated PG-13 for those of you who may decide to partake and go and see that. The other movie that I want to talk about is great for grandkids, nieces, nephews. I mean, maybe you, if you like these kind of movies. And it's interesting. It's 1 hour, 35 minutes. It's action, adventure, comedy. That's what it's being called. And it's Rascal Rebel Rabbit, of course, Peter Rabbit. Check it out.
Once upon a time, in a beautiful wood, there lived a rabbit named Peter with a blue jacket.
Sorry!
And no pants.
We've cut the garden. Help yourself to anything. Wait, didn't you try to eat me? Show me your teeth. Do like a goat, like... Argh. It was you! I knew it! How are you? So good to see you. Stop our fun.
McGregor is coming. Everyone hide.
Only the beginning. Felix, blink. Blink.
It's life.
All right, pretty obvious there. You know, you're talking about silliness and fun, and you're mostly looking for voices you would recognize, like Rose Byrne, James Corden, he does late night TV, perhaps you know Margot Robbie. I think she's great. She's funny. She played Tanya Harding in that I, Tanya movie. Sam Neill is in it, and this is definitely one to take the kids to, because it's a story of the rabbit and what the rabbit goes through, and it's pretty self-explanatory. You know, it's interesting, there are a lot of good movies out there that are still getting some buzz because of the Oscars coming up. So The Post, I've mentioned that. I saw the movie The Post. I really liked it. It dealt with what Katharine Graham, mostly that's what it featured to me, what she had to go through in being the publisher for the Washington Post and the Pentagon Papers and releasing that and what that was all about. Some people are talking about The Greatest Showman. I haven't seen that, and that's Hugh Jackman. That's singing, and that's the story of P.T. Barnum, and that's gotten excellent reviews and done really, really well. There's another movie, The Shape of Water. I haven't seen that either. That's gotten fantastic reviews. And then there's another one, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. And this one is a serious drama. It stars Frances McDormand. And the movie is about this woman whose daughter disappears. And she's enraged about the idea of just the three billboards and that's it. And what are you doing? And how are you trying to find her? And whatnot. And this has gotten rave reviews. So these are all movies to keep in mind if you're not a fan of rolling the dice and going to the movies, of streaming them, because streaming, how many months later do these movies come out streaming and you get a chance to watch them? But the reviews for the movie, the Three Billboard movie, are really outstanding, and there's some great acting or actors in this. Woody Harrelson is just a tremendous actor. I just saw him in LBJ, and he was great as LBJ, and that was a streaming movie I saw. And then you've got also in this Sam Rockwell, who some of you might recognize. He's been in a lot of different movies. He's played in some really funny comedies, and he's played in more serious roles too as well. I think he's tremendous. If you go to the movies, remember, do that cheap movie review thing for me. Send it to me at DelaneyMediaGroup@live.com, and I'll send you a copy of one of my books, Level the Playing Field or Invade the Man Cave. Hang with us.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Welcome to this show, Joseph Okella. He's written a great book that I think really hits home. It hit home with me for sure. And it's called Revisiting God, A Common Sense Approach to Theism. You know, we're talking about something that I know a lot of people have a tug of war over and others who feel probably just like Joseph. And we're talking about theology and religion and Christianity and philosophy. And Joseph, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So let's jump into the heart of the book and what, first of all, drove you to write the book.
Well, this book really talks about the rationality of theism in a way that is accessible to the person who's not very much into the rigors of philosophical thinking. In a certain sense, I'm trying to bring the arguments for the existence of God or the evidence for the existence of God in a way that is accessible to the person who is not really interested in delving into too much philosophical jargon. And I know that many people find the arguments for the existence of God a little too tenuous to deal with. So for that reason, I thought, well, let me think of ways in which I can make theism rationally acceptable without compromising the seriousness of the arguments.
Yeah, so how do you make it rationally acceptable? That's a big task. What did you tackle it specifically in the book?
Well, if you think about it, many philosophers, especially think of people like Immanuel Kant and the early philosophers such as Epicurus, both of them made the claim that nothing comes from nothing. Immanuel Kant, for example, says every event has a cause. So when you think of the universe as an event, you must ask yourself, if I want to remain consistent with Immanuel Kant or even with Epicurus, how is it that this universe can be reasonably accepted to have no cause? And yet when we think of things like watches and clocks, they don't seem, we have to insist that those must have a cause. Yet with the universe, we are prepared to say that. And my thesis there is that that is inconsistent. if everything has a cause, then the universe has a cause. And if the universe has a cause, then the cause must be something bigger and greater than this universe. That is the basic gist of the argument. And people like David Hume, for example, called that kind of argument to question, but I think recent philosophical findings and even scientific findings and reformulations of the argument have tried to show that the argument is not too far-fetched. It's actually very, very reasonable.
And do you think, as you said this in the beginning, sometimes when you get too deep in the philosophy, that's where people get lost. And you, as you said, I think you're trying to really reach the masses and explain it.
Yes, they really do get lost. Now, you have very rigorous Christian philosophers such as Alvin Plantinga, who have argued for the rationality of theism by suggesting that there is a sixth sense in every human being, and it is what he calls a sense of divinity. This sense of divinity plays itself out in just about every human being you think of. I was sitting in a class that was taught by an atheist when I was a student at the University of Kentucky during the September 11th tragedy. And when I was sitting there, when these twin towers came down, this atheist kept on saying, "Oh Jesus, oh God, oh Jesus." And I wondered, wait a minute, why call on God on a moment like this when you clearly have made it plain to us as a professor that you don't believe in God? Alvin Plantinga would argue that that is the sense of divinity actualizing itself in every human being. I don't know whether you've listened to people who do not believe in God. They keep on saying, "Oh my God," or "Thank God," all those kinds of things. That's the argument of the first chapter. I'm saying they're really activating their sense of divinity. In that sense, they're basically saying that it is sensible to run to God in such situations.
Yeah, wow, how powerful. And you picked that right up. As you said, you got a Master of Arts and PhD in philosophy, both from the University of Kentucky, and you also got a Master of Divinity and a Master of Arts in Church Music from Ashbury Theological Seminary, and you were certainly steeped
in it.
That's
correct.
You also served as a pastor at the African Inland Church in Jericho and Nairobi in Kenya after you got your Bachelor of Theology. So you really have studied this, and you were drawn to this right from the beginning. I can only imagine the lessons you learned along the way.
Yeah, remember, I come from a background that knows what it is to go through pain. The news that keeps on coming from Africa is not very pleasant. A lot of deaths and disease and so forth. And having gone through those kinds of experiences, we begin to wrestle with these issues, both at the existential level and at the philosophical level. Thinkers such as Ravi Zacharias continue to inspire me because I listen to how he wrestles with these issues, and I've been able to formulate my own way of dealing with them. Even in that book, that's what I do.
Yeah. Wow. And as you say, learning what you learned and growing up in Kenya and watching that and then coming to the United States and making that leap, when did you really, for you, feel the presence of God?
The presence of God for me has been something that's so real right from the beginning, right from the time I was a little child. Now, it did take some hits. When I began studying the theory of evolution in high school, my belief in God took a hit. It's not that I stopped believing. I began questioning why it is that, you know, scientific findings are basically countering this claim that seems to be so fundamental to our lives. And then I did my PhD in the theory of evolution. And after studying the theory from Darwinian perspectives, from people like Richard Dawkins, from thinkers such as Stephen Jay Gould and so forth, I've come to the conclusion that the theory of evolution does not in any way undercut belief in Christianity. So my belief in God from that time onwards up to now has remained intact. And I've dealt with these kinds of issues in an earlier book, of which this book that you're holding is actually a summary.
Wow. You know, it's interesting, Joseph, in talking to you, too. One of the things I know that you talk about in the book that I think is so powerful is you talk about the idea of Darwinism and evolution does not necessarily undercut, as you say in your own words, a belief in God in any meaningful way. But there's a tug of war over that. So what do you specifically lay out?
Well, do remember that Darwin himself wrestled with this idea in one of his books, in his autobiography. He asked himself this question: what if all these pontifications about evolution and so forth really seem to be the result of beings that are of a lower stature than we are? What if my thinking, he would say, is really the idea, is just my brain firing chemicals and stimuli in my brain? And then he says, if that is the case and evolution is true, then that does undercut his suppositions, because his views then at that point seem to be invisible to the question of truth. Or let me put it the other way around. The truth seems to be invisible to his views. And so he really began to doubt his own ideas. It's not that he recanted them. He just doubted them, and he decided to adopt the agnostic position. But you think about it. If our minds came from matter, matter itself is non-rational. Our minds themselves are fundamentally rational. If matter, which is non-rational, is supposed to bring out something that is rational, then truth seems to be thrown out of the window, because the non-rational does not really harbor truth in any way, but the rational, which is your mind and mind, really does harbor truth. And so you begin to realize that if we begin to think of a universe that began from matter, distanced from mind, then the problem we face is, how then do we arrive at true claims about the world? Because matter does not harbor any truth.
Wow, so well said. Matter does not harbor any truth. That's like what we would call, Joseph, a tweetable moment. And I hope people listening are picking that out. The good reasons to certainly pick up this book. Another thing that you call out or you talk about that I think is so true is, you say this, and you said this in that 9/11 example even, that people find themselves calling out to God in moments of crisis, and also there's evidence for the existence of God that you can see through the fact of answered prayers. Does that sometimes does that sometimes make people realize, oh, okay, so there is a God?
Yes, in many ways, people have actually come to believe in God as a result of specific prayers that they believe God has answered in their lives. Some have actually put it to the test, and it has happened. Now, that is not to say that God will always answer your prayers according to your request. In some instances, he will choose not to answer your prayers, and scripture clearly stipulates that. In some instances, he will choose not to answer your prayers according to your request, especially if your request runs contrary to the will of God. You find that stated very clearly in the book of James, and it is repeated several times in James. I believe it's James chapter 4. So there is always that issue, but there are instances where you can actually pray and experience an answer to prayer according to exactly how you prayed, and you will realize that there is no way this could have happened through any other natural means, but only through a supernatural encounter.
Yeah. Wow, what a powerful message, and so well said. This interview was delightful. Joseph Okella, and again, the book is called Revisiting God, A Common Sense Approach to Theism. You can pick it up at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, of course, with Fire Publishing. Joseph, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate that. My pleasure.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Thank you.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Over the last 4 years, three of the biggest online precious metals dealers have gone bankrupt and their owners put in prison due to theft and fraud. Having previously purchased precious metals, can you be sure you purchased the right product? Did you receive proper advice? Or were you stung by one of these companies? Miles Franklin has been in business for 29 years without receiving any material customer or regulatory complaints ever. Maintaining an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice, bar none. Call us at 866-485-4346 and let us review your portfolio at no commitment whatsoever. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Get the peace of mind you deserve in working with a precious metals company with a reputation like Miles Franklin. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Precious Metals, the name you can trust.
When you think of what's going on in leadership these days, just the other day, Jeff Bezos from Amazon defending the workplace culture. When I said that I feel like they throw the package to my house from where the warehouse is because I can't believe how fast they get it here when you have Amazon Prime, it's unbelievable. And one of the things Bezos has said is that we start with the customers first. So what happens when that gets upended? And there's a huge piece in the New York Times trashing what happens in your culture. What is the Amazonian culture to all the people who work there? Jeff Pfeffer is with us, and he is the author of Leadership BS, Fixing Workplace and Careers One Truth at a Time. Hey, Jeff, thanks for hanging with us.
It's my pleasure to be with you.
So this is perfect timing. We're going to talk about Donald Trump and some other people in leadership, but Jeff Bezos got slammed with the big whammy because the gray lady tried to take Amazon down with a revealing article about things that happened to people as employees of his company. And no leader, especially on that level, wants anything that's so disparaging to come out. Immediately he sent a memo to employees saying that we care about the employees and it's all about our pride here, and to his knowledge that wasn't going on. So what do you make of that story?
Well, what I make of it is a couple things. First of all, this is not the only story on the web about the harsh conditions of working at Amazon. There's a couple of newspapers, including The Guardian in the UK, that have put reporters undercover to work in their warehouses. So this is really not, in some sense, news. You know, I'm sure Jeff is going to disagree with it, but there's a lot of stuff on the web that talks about the harsh conditions in Amazon. That's number one. And number two, as I point out in the book, Leadership BS, we claim we want certain qualities in leaders. We claim we want leaders who are self-effacing and modest and who take care of other people and who, you know, tell the truth. But if you look at what we actually select for and reward, we reward mostly success and people who are tough and powerful. So we say we want one thing, but we actually, apparently, in our behaviors and choices, seem to want something else. And so while it is true, Amazon's a tough place, you also have to understand that Amazon ranks fourth on Fortune's list of most admired companies, and Jeff Bezos is typically in the top five of the most admired CEOs.
Yeah, so there's my question. Can you be both? Can you have both all that in a leader? Can you still have an awesome workplace? And you're always going to have a few people that are going to complain if you have thousands of people that work for you. But can you overall have the incredible culture and still be that tough, powerful, admired leader?
It's possible there are a few, but if you look at the contemporary leaders who've gotten a lot of attention, ranging from the late George Steinbrenner of the New York Yankees to, of course, the famous Steve Jobs, many of them are not the nicest people. They're certainly not people you'd want to be stranded on a desert island with, because they are so fixated on winning and on success, and anything that gets in their way, including, by the way, their employees or work-life balance or a bunch of other stuff, is often just collateral damage.
Wow. All right, so having said that, we see what's going on with Donald Trump. His chances of winning the nomination suddenly have gotten a little bit better. I mean, we're still just under a year until we actually have the convention and of course the primaries and all that's rolled into getting someone to that point. But we see that he's grabbing all the headlines. So what's the skinny on Donald Trump?
Well, the skinny on Donald Trump is pretty much the same as the skinny on Jeff Bezos. I think the political pundits have missed the point. There's a lot of stuff about how he's appealing to some small segment of very unhappy, disaffected, outraged voters. I'm sure that's partly true. But Trump also, he's got the self-promotion. He's hogged the media spotlight. He won't back down. He doesn't apologize, which is something that I talk about in my book called Power. He says outrageous things and doesn't always deal precisely with the truth. For instance, he's claimed he has the best-selling business book of all time, which turns out doesn't pass fact-checking. But all of these qualities are actually qualities that we've seen in other strong business leaders, ranging from Steve Jobs to Jeff Bezos. They take a few liberties with the facts, and they certainly self-promote and don't apologize. So Donald Trump exhibits again this wonderful paradox. The qualities we claim to want in leaders is not what we seem to want when they show up.
All right, we're speaking with Jeff Pfeffer. He's the author of Leadership BS, Fixing Workplace and Careers One Truth at a Time. He's also, by the way, the Thomas D. D., the second professor, I love that, of organizational behavior at the Graduate School of Business, Stanford U. And so when you're teaching at Stanford, what do you tell the students about leadership?
Well, I teach a course. It's one of the most popular electives. It is called the Paths, P-A-T-H-S, as in plural, Paths to Power. And I tell them that the world is not a just and fair place, and that it's not often exactly as it's been described to them in the kumbaya culture of Stanford. And they need to get ready for the world that they are going to face, and that if they want to make the world a better, more humane, kinder, and gentler place, that's fine and that's great. But you have to begin by understanding the situation, the social psychology, and why it is that we seem to gravitate to these strong, bold, outrageous leaders.
All right, so why is it that we gravitate toward strong and bold, outrageous leaders?
I think it's partly because we are genetically predisposed in order for our survival, to recognize two things. Number one, friend or foe, which is one of the reasons why interpersonal similarity is a strong base of attraction. It's not like we like people who are opposites. It's opposites don't attract. It's similars who attract. That's number one. And the second thing is that we want to be associated with people and organizations who are going to win. So if you look, for instance, at Apple under Steve Jobs, that was a tough place to work. And so you know, why did people stay there? Well, they want to be associated with an organization that is winning, that is in the news, that is successful. And you see this with football teams and basketball teams. The former Indiana basketball coach Bobby Knight, who threw chairs at players and got fired for that. And I'm not recommending this as leadership behavior, but why would a basketball player put up with that? I want to be part of a great program. So our desire to be associated with winning oftentimes causes us to be willing to put up with behavior that isn't particularly good behavior, but we put up with it because we want to be a part of a successful organization.
Yeah, well said, absolutely. How about this twist in the culture with what we're seeing? It's funny you mentioned sports, that there are now people that are saying we don't want our kids to get participation medals, where, you know, that's a big business in the trophy world because everybody gets a trophy. So forget first, second, and third. Is that a damaging thing to teach kids that, you know, competition, it's okay, but everybody's a winner?
It's, I think, quite damaging. There's been a bunch of articles, including by Elizabeth Colbert, about how we've created children who are not really ready for the real world, because in the real world, the real world is filled with hierarchy. There's still only one CEO at places like Facebook and Apple, even though they're in the Silicon Valley. And because organizations are still pyramids, there are more people at the bottom than at every successive level above. And so people have to build, I think, resilience. So if you ask me what are the qualities that, you know, that make people successful in the contemporary workplace, or maybe even in the older workplace, persistence and resilience is really, I think, very important. I mean, the famous former San Francisco mayor, Willie Brown, lost the first time he ran for San Francisco Assembly and the first time he ran for Speaker. You look at successful politicians, many of them have had setbacks along their careers. Business leaders often have setbacks. Reed Hastings, the fabulous, very successful and now extremely wealthy CEO of Netflix, got fired from his previous CEO job. So we need to teach our children, we need to teach ourselves how to be resilient in the face of troubles and difficulties.
And does that work in today's world, especially because entrepreneurism is flourishing? And if you're going to be an entrepreneur, wouldn't that also follow suit about persistence and resilience?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, many entrepreneurs, their first venture fails. And I mean, we forget, you know, before there was all these famous things from, you know, Apple, we forget the Lisa, we forget the Newton, all the failed products. We forget the fact that Steve Jobs was actually thrown out of the company and came back. So many successful leaders have had, and certainly every company has had product failures and difficulties. And most leaders have had failures and difficulties also. So therefore, the ability to overcome adversity and just hang in there and wear down the opposition is, I think, a very important quality.
All right, Jeff Pfeffer, thank you so much. Leadership BS, Fixing Workplace and Careers One Truth at a Time. I'm sure you can pick the book up on Amazon or wherever great books are sold. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.